I'm Stefan Christoph. Thanks for tuning in. This is edition 254. On the broadcast today, I'm going to be sharing a conversation that I recorded with an activist in Istanbul, Turkey, Sima Atundel, who is with an organization of youth in Turkey who have been protesting for Palestine. Their group is called Thousands of Young People for Palestine. This interview is interesting for many reasons. One of the key ones is that it unravels a certain narrative that the Turkish government has put forth over the last year and a half, that the Turkish state stands in solidarity with the Palestinian people. In this interview, Sima goes into detail about the ways that Turkish corporations are involved in oil and gas projects that are deeply connected to the Israeli government. I think also what's important is to learn about the ways that grassroots activists, younger activists, have been protesting not just the situation in Palestine and in support of Palestinian freedom, but also have been protesting the complicity of corporations in Turkey. So that specific company is Zorlu Energy, and it is actually playing a major role in the Israeli government's Dorad National Gas Power Plant. There is a number of other connections that we learn about in this interview with Sima. I think that it's important to think beyond sort of slogans and headlines and actually get into the ways that there's an economic infrastructure that is supporting and holding up the policies of the Israeli state. And I thought it was important to hear from a youth activist in Turkey about this. So here's my conversation with Sima Atundel on Free City Radio.
It's not just about Palestine, but in all around the world, colonialism has like a very long and wide history. And we know that the international laws is produced by the one who hold like power and capital in their hands, and mostly formed to protect like their rights. And so this law is in my opinion, is just for the reproduction of this system. So it doesn't serve the justice or equality in any case. So it's not possible for us to support this case by giving reference to international law, because we know it's useless for oppressed people. It's not, of course, like it's not a chance to just refuse all the laws or like all the system, because like we are living in it and we have to use like all means to fight this whole thing, to do what we can. But in reality, we know that it's not useful to show up at these arguments, or the freedom won't come from international law or any of this imperialist tools, I can say.
There's a lot to get into there, but just rewinding about the idea of the abolition of the Israeli state. In the context of apartheid in South Africa, there was a lot of calls for the end to apartheid, right? Like the abolition of the apartheid system. And today that seems very acceptable, you know, even in the Western context, that we don't want a regime in South Africa of racial segregation. And, you know, obviously that comes with all these layers of oppression. Maybe you could just contrast and compare this important idea, I think, that calling for the abolition of the Israeli state is not about the people who live there. It's about this infrastructure. It's about the institutions that govern the territory, like the institutions of the Israeli state, the military, the companies that are benefiting from this genocide, you know, and then we can talk a bit more about what like activism in Turkey looks like, about challenging the relationships to these companies.
It's also about people, because the majority of citizens of Israel are even though they call themselves are settlers, they are also part of this colonialist structure, because they stole the Palestinians' houses. There and the violence and oppression doesn't just come from an IOF, like doesn't just come from the Israel's army, but also the settler colonialists, like the one which like the Western people maybe call like civilians, are also harming Palestinian peoples, like killing them, suppressing them systematically. So of course it's also about them. But it's not about like very superficial call for like killing all the people. It's not like that, of course. What I meant by they have a place to go, but Palestinians don't have a place to go. So of course we want their lands back. We want their sources back. We want their right to exist in their own lands back.
The reason I ask that question is to think about how do we get there, right? Like, and that's really the question that I'm interested in your work in Turkey, is how do we unravel the systems that lift up the Israeli project, right? And sort of getting into some of the details about how to take on the infrastructure, right? Because it's not just the political leaders, it's not just Netanyahu. There's a whole like infrastructure, right? And this is where it gets more difficult and complicated of like, how do activists, you know, challenge that infrastructure, right? So it'd be great to hear about some examples of campaigns and efforts that you're making in Turkey to think about, you know, like challenging the economic relationships, for example, or relationships between military companies. Because it's great to see this moment where people around the world are calling, you know, for freedom in Palestine. But the next step is, how do we actually start challenging the infrastructure that supports the Israeli state, right? This is really the hard part. So I'd love to hear about some of the examples of work that you do in this regard.
But maybe before coming to that, like coming to our actions, I can explain what the what's the political and social scene about Palestinian case looks like in Turkey a bit, if it's okay. So after the October 7, many people took the streets upon the call of Palestinian people and resistance organizations, and we responded to these calls thinking that we had to be on the streets in some way, but what we saw was something is very lacking. No one ever said anything about the hypocritical attitude of government or capital holders, and in Turkey there are millions of people whose hearts beats with Palestine, and there are some boycott calls, actually, like which is many popular. But all these calls mostly only remain on an individual basis. But we know that there is the local collaborators here in Turkey, which is the capital holders and the government, and not just the government, but like the other political subjects as well. That supports the occupier to expand its occupation by exporting, for example, tons of steel and cement from Turkey every year. Or the Israel's biggest fuel supplier is Azerbaijan and Kazakhstan together. And it goes to Israel directly from Turkey, which is in the south of Turkey, there is a city called Adana, and in there, like there is a port of Ceyhan, and like every day, like regularly, ships goes to Israel still to feed the Zionist army with its fuel. So, and there are many other examples of this trade and this relations, but maybe I can elaborate on that later. But to continue the story, since we saw this, we started to do as like weekly vigils. This is first start with the call of a political group which is mostly based on Muslim leftists here. Its name Emek Adalet Platformu. They make these calls, and then other group, other leftist youth group, joined them, which is Gençlik Komiteleri. And after that, We thought that we should create a more anonymous and publicly owned youth movement where people from all ideologies, beliefs, and disbeliefs came together and calls for some solid demands and calls for what is lacking in Turkey. So after that, Filistin İçin Bin Genç was founded. So this is like a short story of how we found it. And after that, if I come to like our actions specifically. So as I said, we try to amplify the voice of Palestinian Intifada. And like our like goal is to be their voice here. And when we thought about it, like how we could do this, like what's its real way? And the only possible way seems like for us exposing those relations who sustain Zionism and publicize the call as much as possible to sever all ties with the occupying entity so that we can forge a collective struggle against the system. And it was actually really hard because in Turkey, as you said, the government for years seems like they are pro-Palestinian, but in reality they are not. But for most of the people, because of like their hegemony, like this is the truth. And they don't want to see like the other side of the coin, because and they have actually many reasons for that, but because it's not just on the government level, but on the company side, for example, like many big corporations, companies, local capital holders are doing huge campaigns like donations for Gaza, for Palestine, or like even some businessmen organizing like very big marches for Palestine. So when we go in front of their companies, like directly in front of like their buildings, people call us like terrorists, people call us like they even call us like some Mossad agent, because they said if your case is like really Palestinian case, then you don't why are you fighting with like government or like this businessman? They are already supporting Palestine, so it's really hard to expose all these relations, because it's like rooted really deep, and as you said, like with not just only on the level of narrative, but also with many different structures, with many different institutions, and they built this. And so it was hard, but I think we had some achievements. Like for example, Zorlu Holdings, Zorlu Holding, which is one of the biggest corporations in Turkey, is operating at various sectors such as energy, textile, electronics, and stuff, and also has close ties with Erdogan government and received awards by Erdogan himself multiple times. Also, it has 3 power plants in occupied Palestinian territories, directly serving Zionists and even for the army. And it produces almost 10% of Israel's energy, and also awarded by Israel for its investments and stuff. So starting our first action was in Zorlu building. They also have a shopping mall. We go there and expose all this stuff and call for like shut down the power plants, cut the electricity, stop feeding the Zionist entity. And for exposing this collaboration, like some of our comrades like were detained by the police, and it was the start. And it's after that, like many times in our actions, we exposed, not surprisingly, in many places around the world, we were also subjected to police violence and detainments, even arrestments. Five of our comrades were actually in prison for 2.5 months. Like, for example, on the May Day, 18 members of our group marched towards Taksim on the International Labor Day and were detained by the police. And then most of them were released. But five of our friends were arrested, and not due to May Day, actually. We learned that it's for a whole another accusation, which is they were arrested due to chanting Katil İsrail İşbirlikçi Erdoğan, which is a slogan we chant in one of our protests we did in Land Day, Murder Israel, Complicit Erdoğan. We chant the slogan also in front of like Minister of Trade and in order to show solidarity with Palestinian people. And yani, it's interesting that they didn't arrest them due to like our actions or anything, but like this specific sentence. And also after they arrested, like in very short amount of time, the government actually published their order to a limitation of trade with Israel for some specific products. And it's also like direct it directly shows that like we are right and our call is like totally right. But like when this order was published, our friends were still arrested, and even though the main responsible one, which is Erdoğan, almost confessed like his complicity on this genocide by saying that yes, we have a trade and now I'm limiting it. If there weren't a trade, like they argued, then there was no need to like any kind of the orders like that. And the interesting thing is, Turkey has maintained relations with Israel not only since October 7, but its roots goes back to the history. And although this restrictions imposed on some specific products, trade with Israel was like reported to have fallen, but it's not like cut totally, because like they after that the government again we continued to protest and stuff, and the government again published another decision which they say we totally banned trade with Israel until the enough amount of humanitarian aid enters to Gaza. So this is also like very problematic decision for us, because if they already accepted that like Israel is a Zionist state, then why do they like limit this this order with only a short amount of time? And also, even though this ban was published, it doesn't totally impose sanctions on all traders, because like they found ways to do it. For example, and before reaching the Israeli ports like Ashkelon or Haifa, and they goes to like the Turkish ships goes to like another country's ports, and writes on the like documents like that, and then goes to Israel, so that on the documents it doesn't seem like they are continue to trade with Israel, but in reality they are. And the biggest like unit of trade is still going on is actually, as I said, is the oil trade, actually, because Azerbaijan and Kazakhstan together supplying almost half of the Israel's oil need. So, and the oil that reaches Haifa and Ashdod is processed in refineries to fuel Israeli jets and tanks. And the SOCAR is directly in collaboration with a Turkish institution, which is called BOTAŞ, which is directly linked to not the government, but directly linked to Erdogan, actually. So we are still calling for, like, our biggest demand is now stop, like, close our ports to Zionism, stop feeding oil, because, like, it's rather than, like, any other products, like, for example, like, Turkey was used to sell, or, like, maybe still, since we don't know, because, like, they don't share, like, the old infos and data, etc. But the main products were, like, steel. Turkey was, like, the biggest steel supplier of the Israel, then textile, then chemicals, etc. But the oil is, like, really critical and strategical product, because it's the product directly served the genocide, because you know, all this, like, things about, like, the jets and tanks and stuff. And we also did, like, many protests in front of Sokar and also Azerbaijan consulate and also, like, Botaş. And we actually get some reply, which is a good thing. But what I mean by reply is Sokar and Botaş made some, like, public explanations, but it's like, for example, like, the Minister of Trade say that, yeah, we know that, like, some ships going to Israel, but, like, we can't do anything about it. We can't control, like, where they go, like, do they go to Israel or not. But, and actually, they are right at some point, because the thing is, the whole pipeline, starting from Baku to Ceyhan, is not, like, under total control of Turkey. It's controlled by like, different subjects, which also, like, includes BP, as you know, like, in this system. It's also, like, one of the main responsibles. Also Sokar and, like, some other companies. So it even shows that it's not just about some trade decisions, but it also shows that, like, how Turkey is also, like, engaged in whole of all of this, like, imperialist chains, because it doesn't even can control the pipelines directly goes through on their own lands. And through this, there is also, like, another pipeline in Turkey, and the what we are trying to expose nowadays is not just oil, but also Palestinians gas, natural gas, is also will be transported from there to through Turkey to some European countries. So, and before October 7, Erdogan himself is also, like, having some meetings with the Israeli bureaucrats about this gas searching operations. And they were also, like, involved in this, and probably they are still. But, like, as I said, like, we don't know, like, its all details, but it's, like, very large-scale operation in, like, different units of trade. And not just only trade, but also on the, like, military parts. Turkey is, like, still part of NATO somehow, and we have some military bases in Turkey, like, more than one. And they are directly giving informations to Israel. And even though, like, many different groups are calling for closing the basis of NATO in Turkey, still they didn't do anything about it, no sanctions on this topic. And they even try to justify it, like they did in trade, because the most common replies when we reply we get from the officials were at first, like, they denied, they totally reject this trade, and, like, calling us, like, terrorists and liars. And then at the point where they couldn't reject it, they started to say that, sure, like, you saw some, like, data, but, like, in reality, it actually not with Israel, but the Palestinians live in Israel. That's the people whom we are trading with. These were their explanations, actually. And nowadays, it's after the after the trade ban, for many people, it's actually yeah, in this case is not very popular, unfortunately. I mean, of course, like still like some groups are protesting, etc. But it's even harder now to tell what's going on, because it's not like very live than it used to be. But still, there is so much going on, and still we are like protesting or doing campaigns or creating collaborations globally to support like Intifada in a broader broader perspective.
So I'll just mention that the natural gas project you're talking about is the exploration of Turkish, European, and other international companies to try to look for natural gas off the coast of Palestine that the Israeli government has been pushing for a number of years now. So thanks for highlighting that. And also for talking about all the important work that you're doing.
That was a conversation with Sima Atundel, who is an activist based in Turkey. And she spoke to us from Istanbul about the ways that youth activists in Turkey have been calling for an end to the complicity of corporations in Turkey with the Israeli state project, as you heard, particularly oil and gas and electrical companies. So thank you to Sima for the conversation. This has been another edition of Free City Radio. Thank you to support from the Social Justice Center at Concordia University in Montreal. I'm Stefan Christoph, and we air weekly on CKUT 90.3 FM at 11 a.m. on Wednesdays, on CJLO 1690 a.m., also in Geogeagi, Montreal, on Wednesdays at 8:30 a.m., on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg at 8 a.m. on Tuesdays, on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario, at 11:30 a.m. on Wednesdays, on CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria, BC, on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. and Saturdays at 7:30 a.m., on Met Radio 1280 a.m. in Toronto at 5:30 a.m. on Fridays, and on CKCU 93.1 FM in Ottawa on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. You can find our archives at soundcloud.com/freecityradio. And look us up as a podcast. You can find us through major podcast platforms. I'm Stefan Christoph, and thank you for tuning in.